You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Busy, busy Ruben Gallego hump day today. He's a big Senate candidate now. Big Senate candidate, Ruben.
Big hitter of the llama.
Bunga Galunga. Welcome back. We got Dan Shearer at the bottom of the hour, Green Valley News. Then we have Joey and Celeste from Dancing in the Streets here, and they're going to pour their heart out about Elijah Miranda, the young man who was killed in the apartment next to the whole murder scene with Deb Garibay and all of that craziness. And they were at the Board of Supes meeting 8 days ago, and they were on fire. And I said, if you guys want to come on and do some radio, let's do it. So we'll see those good people at 7:07. And then 8:07, a gentleman named Frank Knott will be here. He is doing the Mosaic development at the Keno South program. So we're going to learn more about that in the third hour. Had a good time last night. I went to the Marana Chamber of Commerce mixer at the Wild Horse Ranch. And always good to see the crew. Got to see my boy Ron Arenas, of course, a very longtime member of that chamber. Lots of good friends out there. Got to see Adrian from Treasures for Teachers. We love what Adrian
does.
Right,
yeah.
So she sat with me and Mrs. D for a while, so that was very fun. And then, I got to see one of our new mates, Matt Neely, Joan Lee.
All right. Okay.
So, Matt, let's do it. I know it's in your top of the hour news. Give us the official word of our purchase, the Bustos Media purchase of The Drive.
Yeah, Bustos Media filed an application with the FCC for the acquisition of the assets of Tucson Radio LLC, The Drive, the number two rated station in the market. It offers a large catalog of music baby boomers love and is presented by popular local personalities. Along with 1030 The Voice, Bustos Media owns 106.3 The Groove, 92.5 Urbana, and 105.3 La Poderosa. Patty Ruiz, the general manager for Bustos Media. Sure, we've been in trouble with her a lot. Patty Ruiz, the general manager for Bustos Media in Tucson, will be the general manager of the combined stations effective April 1st.
Effective the anniversary date of Wake Up Tucson.
Correct.
I'm just telling you.
How's that?
You guys think it's all coincidence. This is Illuminati level kind of stuff.
Right.
Kids.
Well, and KDRI is going to continue to operate from their downtown studio.
Nice.
So, yeah, we all welcome The Drive to Bustos Media. That's great.
It's a good compliment to what they're building here.
You bet.
And, what's interesting about the success of The Drive is, you know, we hang around guys like, I don't know, Ed Alexander, right? Alan Kaith. Alan Michael. Well, yeah, okay, but Alan Michaels, right? And those guys have always been preaching that format would still work in Tucson, Arizona.
That's right.
Right? And yeah. So kudos to Fletcher and Jim and the crew for saying, oh, let's see if that works.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, and they've done that and that hyper-local thing, right, which you and I can empathize with.
Sure, of course.
Hyper-local. So they've done the hyper-local connection with the community, and they're doing, we're a baby boomer community, kids. I don't know where you're living, right? But, you know, we have there's parts of urban Tucson are definitely very young, but at the same time, a lot of the edges of Tucson, it's all boomers. So it makes sense to me. So
absolutely.
So what we're going to do today for the music is we're going to celebrate the Drive joining the family with some tunes that might show up on The Drive.
Evocative of sure.
Exactly. Very. We're provocative and evocative.
And evocative.
As we like to say. I do want to thank Betsy. I forgot to do it yesterday. I was busy. We just got right into it with Bruce yesterday. She sent us the... it's the bracket. It's like the basket. It's the top 64. It's the bracket based on colleges playing off each other based on total cost of going to them for 4 years.
I love that.
You know, so, you know, we have number one Kansas in the West at $148,000 going against Howard for $185,000.
Holy Moses.
UConn is $207,000 versus Iona at $239,000.
Wow.
So we can do that.
That's fun.
I can tell you liked it. You got the paper version of it. So
that's true. Remember, Friday is our special anniversary show. McCluskey will be here for, you know, his usual every other Friday, which is great. Chef John Hone's going to be here providing an amazing food Friday. Evocative,
thank you,
of our Tuesday Arizona Gives Live remote, wakeup.gapmin.com, wakeup.gapmin.com to get your tickets. $20 for an amazing buffet breakfast and live remote with yours truly. And so he'll be here, and then Joe the Hig Dog Higgins will be here for the Friday anniversary show. So that will be hilarious. So,
does he promise not to take the control room offline this time?
So hopefully that doesn't happen. I did tell him to resend you that stupid intro of his.
Oh, yeah. And if he doesn't get around to it, I've got that
one.
Oh,
you do have that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Don't stop saying that publicly, that it's awesome.
But it is.
Ackerley is going to call up in a few minutes. He has a quick ask of the audience, and so we'll do that. Ed Ackerley, Dan Shearer, Joey and Celeste, and then Frank Knott from the Mosaic Development in the third hour. So, Matt, let's crank this out. We're going to be doing playing a little tunes off of the old Evocative. We're going to say it a lot today. Evocative. And provocative. Maybe this is going to be the new liner for the show. Evocative and provocative of our of the drive joining the Bustos Media family. So, which is right up the alley of the basically America's best local talk show with the best playlists every damn day. So, it's a natural fit. Now, what would Zach say here? I feel as though we have complimentary modalities. I'm going to figure this out before it's all over.
Well, right out of the chute, we're going to go with Shango. And this was, Bobby was playing this one from the get-go on the drive.
All right.
And it's called Day After Day. And you and I have talked about it a little bit before. It was written by Stuart Margolin.
That's right.
Of Angel Martin fame. And the first time I ever heard this song, and the only way I was familiar with it before the drive went online, was Jerry Riopel. Jerry and Stuart were good friends, and Jerry Riopel did it in the mid-80s, but this is 1968, the band Shango, and written by Stuart Margolin.
All right. Welcome to the fam drive. All right. We're driving with Matt Neely over there, celebrating the addition of the drive to our Bustos family stations here. So it's a fun new thing as part of what's going on, and they built a nice thing over there, and they're a perfect fit for what we're doing over here. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ed Ackerley, a friend of the show. He's also running for mayor of Tucson. Edward, good morning, sir. Welcome to Wake Up Tucson again.
Well, thank you, Chris. I was just talking to Matt. His lovely bride is going to be speaking to my students at the University of Arizona this morning, so we're looking forward to the great Kelly Neely.
Absolutely.
To our students. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And congrats on your 14 years and the acquisition of the drive. What a great little product they have built up over the last couple of years. And it'll be nice to add them to the Bustos family.
No, that's great. There's a tingle going down my leg, as they say. It's a good thing. Everyone's excited about it over here. So very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
How's the battle going out there, buddy?
Well, you know, as they say, this is where the rubber meets the road. We have been, you know, basically running for mayor since the day after the election in 2019. And now is when we need the help of some folks. We are gathering signatures to be placed on the ballot for the November 7th mayoral election. We are last time when we ran, we submitted double what we needed to qualify for the ballot, and we want to try and obviously have a similar type of approach this time. So we're out every day this week getting signatures. We were at the 4th Avenue Street Fair for 3 days last week, did really well there, and we're doing great. But I guess have a request of your listeners, if they have not signed my petition, to all they're doing is helping me get on the ballot. It's not voting for me or giving me any money at this point. It's just to help me get on the ballot so I can compete mano a mano with anybody else that runs. They can go to my website, ackerleyformayor.com, and they can sign up quickly. It takes about 2 minutes with the eQualify State of Arizona signature process. It's very simple. And then as many of those as I can get in the next 72 hours would be really great. So
awesome. So again, how do the good folks connect with you to help you out, get those signatures?
We'll be out all over town next 5 days, but you can do it from your couch. You can dial up ackerleyformayor.com and go to the sign page, and you can go right to the State of Arizona eQualify signature page and fill out your information. And it takes, like I said, about 2 minutes to fill it out, and you're done. And you help me get the we have to get up 2,952 signatures for sure, and I'd like to make it more like 4,000 or 5,000. So we need as much help as we can get.
And if you're someone who doesn't live in the city, but you have a business in the city, or you know people in the city, you know, take ackerleyformayor.com and send that link out to 10 people, or have some of your employees who might believe that enough's enough with the crime and bullcrap going on in this town, and have them send that and sign it through that way. Very easy.
Very easy. You know, I've been listening to you the last couple of days talking about your 14th anniversary and about all the issues that you personally and Joe and others have been talking about over the last 14 years. And, you know, my issues align pretty well right along with what you've been talking about of what we need to do to fix this town. So if you get a chance today, if you'd sign my petition, do it right now. I'd really appreciate it. And we're on our way to challenging and to make sure that we make Tucson the best place it can be.
Awesome. All right. AckerleyForMayor.com. All right, my friend.
Correct.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Ed Ackerley. Again, AckerleyForMayor.com. And they've made it nice and easy that you can, while you're binging, The Last of Us or whatever you're watching on your thing, you can sign your, or have others, you know, people just send it out to them. People, you know, live in Tucson who are sick of the crap. Send them the link and have them sign. So let's do a little crime beat real quick. So Matt, we got the stabbing. I saw Dandy Dan Mary's had it on his originally, right? So we had the stabbing. Now, was this a CVS, the stabbing? Why do I think that? Or was it near a CVS? That's originally what it was.
So there were two stabbings reported in the news. One was yesterday. The other was Monday. So there was one last night at Speedway in Kolb.
Okay.
When officers arrived on the scene, they found a victim with serious injuries, taken to the hospital. And then there was another one on, hang on a second, where was it?
Come on, you don't have your Tucson stabbing scorecard handy, man?
No.
Come on,
I'm
man.
Sorry, I don't. Let's see. There was a Monday evening. There it is. Golf links in Wilmot. Officers responded to reports of a gunshot. They got there at an apartment complex. They arrived on scene. They found a victim stabbed, but no gunshot wounds were found.
Okay.
So,
because when I was looking at this was Dan Mari's, this is yesterday, I think, just before 12:45, armed robbery at the CVS on Broadway. That's different. Okay.
Oh.
And then they are clearing shortly. No arrests made, but I knew they were the helicopter.
Oh, that was
at
Broadway and Wilmot. I did see that on social media. Yep.
You can't keep track of it, buddy.
Well, it's...
Can't keep track of it.
Need a scorecard, sadly.
Now, the other thing, too, with these fentanyl zombies living in washes, and this story by Vivian Contreras on Kagan 9 really... So what's interesting is it says... here it is. Hold on. Oh, I apologize. A different story. This is KOLD, and this is just... by staff. It's only two sentences, right? But very this is where some of you people on the edges of this problem you better start paying attention. All right. So this is a two sentence story. That's a reprint of whatever they got it from, or they got it from Northwest Fire District. Okay. So this is yesterday, and it says Northwest Fire District responded to a fire behind the Walmart near the Foothills Mall area. All right. So that's the one over there on La Cholla and McGee Cartero, whatever we're calling it over there, right? Near the Chuck Huckleberry Clover Leaf from Hell project. Okay. So so I'm looking at it, it says no injuries and the cause is under investigation. Well, when you look at the fire of the picture of what burned down, it's an outdoor homeless fentanyl living room in the wash behind that Walmart. So I get a little paranoid because I hang out with guys like Dr. Neil, right? And so this is in the suburban area, and what? Thank God someone caught this, but this fire behind the Walmart could have easily took out a couple of houses if it kept on going, right? That's what's going to happen one day, is that one of these homeless camps are going to take out either another building or a couple of houses someplace, right? Especially wait till we get to summer, right? And then it's on like Donkey Kong. Matt, right. I'm talking about this thing behind the Walmart at Foothills Mall.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an end table. This was a homeless fentanyl campfire that got out of control.
Right, right. Yep, yep.
And I like how they say the it's under investigation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know what the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
What a Northwest Fire didn't want to say a bunch of homeless fentanyls on. It's not nice enough anymore.
Well,
I mean, what are they, the George Hammond of fire departments? I should have done that in my Dennis Miller. He's like the George Hammond
of fire departments. Spudley.
Well, tell Sean he's got to bring him on. He's got a minute before I get to Dan Shearer in the bottom of the hour. Brush fire. We just almost had a brush fire at this homeless camp. So perfect segue.
Next time you talk to Ed, I assume he's still mayor of Pliskin, right?
He is.
Can we have like an annexation meeting and go ahead and come on out and get me? Can I go ahead and be included?
So
I'm at Old Spanish Trail in Houghton.
This is going to take some trickery. This is going to take some trickery and chicanery, as we say.
Gerrymandering.
Yeah, I want to be gerrymandered. Me and Matt want to be in Pliskin Acres because there's a camp right there at the water park or the water company. There's a big camp right there.
We can do this. We'll just go right down the Rito.
That'll right? work. I'll take it.
Right,
I'll
and then it. We'll snake so it out to Matt's crib in your place.
At least Pliskin Acres has a highway. I.e.
Oh, that's
which, Tucson can't even claim a crosstown freeway.
That's true. The Rito River is the super highway for Pliskin Acres. So, Sean, we're gonna bring it before the mayor. Okay, that's all I can tell you.
I would appreciate that. I mean, if we can have like a public meeting or something, I'll go ahead and bring the fireball.
It'll be silly enough. We don't need any more fireball.
Keep the faith, brother.
You later, amigo.
Happy Wednesday, man.
Wake up, take Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Dan Shearer coming up next. 6:34 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. Let's go down to that little green valley, the home of golf carts and sometimes cars going through the fronts of buildings, and of course peanut butter parfaits with soft peanuts.
And I just want to drop on you this one. La Posada, one of our continuing care communities down here, just bought like the Rolls Royce of golf carts for its for its people. This thing seats six. It's all enclosed. It is sleek. It's beautiful. And if you got our newsletter, you would have seen a picture of it a couple of days ago.
Is that the one that has the electro shock paddles on it, too?
It's an electric vehicle. I'm ignoring you. And, it might have a place for a stretcher. I don't know. I haven't asked them. But But I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this. And then you go online. It's called a gem. You go online and you start looking at golf carts and you see what people have done with them over the years. And it's really quite incredible. But this thing is... This is pretty nice. It starts at about 20 grand, and I don't know how many they have. Maybe just one, but we're loving it, and it's fun to look at.
Well, again, it's all about the simple things in life, Dan. That's what I say.
Yeah, and then taking them to an extreme, which is what this thing would do. But they deserve it over there, good people.
So I see you guys are carrying the story of the Attorney General is doing her town halls about the Kroger-Albertsons merger. And I posted it up, the one that she's doing in Tucson. I called it, it could be the funniest meeting of the week, is some of these people in Tucson crying about Kroger and Albertsons. But what's your take on her doing this?
Well, we have, let me see, I think five grocery stores down here. So you'd have Walmart, Sprouts, two Safeways, and a Fry's. And if the Safeways and the Fry's merge, which is by far the bulk of the consumers go there, the fears, of course, are that there would be less availability of certain products and that prices would go up and, you know, all of those things that you would expect to hear on this. And we thought this through a few years ago when there was a possible grocery strike in Arizona, which would have closed, at that time we didn't have Sprouts, but so it would have closed three of our four grocery sites. And so that really got people to thinking about how independence is really important. And so to keep Safeway and Fry's away from each other was probably a good idea. And so I think that it's going to go through, because I don't know that you can come up with a really good reason for it not to. But it is interesting how much of an interest this has in our community.
Well, you know, and then you know, we know that in the grocery store wars, especially like in California, we saw with their minimum wage stuff and some other limits they were putting on grocery stores in certain towns. They literally said, "Oh, we're going to close our stores."
Right.
Right. And then right. The same people who screwed them over on minimum wages go, "Oh, but you're creating a food desert."
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, I know. You know, there's so much that comes to play in it. And, of course, the grocery industry has always claimed that they have a very small, very thin profit margin. I don't know if that's true or not. I've heard it's, 1% at best, which very well, you know, could be the case. But, you know, sometimes people defer to the ridiculous, to be honest, in their opposition to certain things. Let me give you an example. We had a big rezoning meeting the other day that would bring in apartments, and somebody went to the call to the public and said, "Look, if we bring this in, we could have 500 more people in this area, and how are we going to feed all these people?" okay, now I've heard some very interesting NIMBY arguments over the years, but that one might take the cake. It's like, you know, if we let them move into these apartments, you know, and then they're going to probably want gas and clothes too. So how are we going to do this? Well, and the point down here is that people want to have that small town feel. So it's the old right after I moved in, let's lock the gates type of a thing. But you know what? We're in a very nice suburb in a desirable area, and people are going to move here and continue to. So you can't stop the growth, but you can shape what it looks like. And so that's really what that discussion was about.
Look, you guys are just on the beginning of that apartment curve, where I'm in the middle of that in Oral Valley, right? So Oral Valley, any person over the age of 60, if you say the word apartment, it's the same as saying the phrase child pornography for them, all right?
Right.
That's how much they hate it.
Well, and the interesting thing is that these are going to be luxury apartments, and people still don't want them. They still don't want them.
They think that apartments are going to bring like carnies to their neighborhood. Right. Oh, you're going to bring some carnies here. It's $2,000 a month to stay there. Ah, that doesn't mean crap.
I told someone, I said, these people are going to be paying double what I pay for my mortgage. And so I don't really know who's going to go there, actually, because they're going to be, they're saying they're going to be market price plus a little bit of a premium, which the last apartment complex that this group built was luxury up in the Phoenix area. And so we'll see what happens with it. But what I don't like about it is that they would be three stories high. And that does kind of affect the neighbors a little bit. So
I always say to people, when we say about the neighbors, so I'll go to the La Cañada in Lambert. It's called Oro Vista. It was built by the owners from the golf villas there. And there's the villages at La Cañada, which is a gated community, right? Okay, so it's I get it, right? But it was always a commercial piece of property next door, right? It's on Lambert and La Cañada. So when all of a sudden these guys come up and say, well, they're going to be two stories on the edge, but there's going to be three stories in the middle. They went insane, right?
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, what did you think was going to be there? I'm sure the real estate agents told them it was going to be a one-level medical plaza with gardens and fountains.
Right, exactly. And so the real estate agent is always going to paint this wonderful picture, like there's going to be a botanical garden over there, and they're going to have a little gate, you know, that goes right to your property, and you're going to love it. No, if you build or buy or whatever near an empty piece of land, I would go research it. And let me give you a little twist on that. That was very surprising to the people in Quail Creek, which is kind of an upper crust community out here. We may have talked about it last time, but there is now a proposed asphalt plant that's going to go within a half a mile of their community. Now, they have always had a construction materials plant there run by Vulcan, which is out of Alabama. But so people knew it was there. It was never a problem. It was actually there before Quail Creek. But what people didn't realize was that zoning also would allow you to put in an asphalt plant, and that Vulcan is in the asphalt business. And so they may have bought there thinking it was never going to be more than a construction materials plant, which is, you know, just basically they break rocks over there. But now you're going to have this other thing. So that's our other big issue going on down here, is these people bought next to something, figured, yeah, we can live with it, but now it's turning into something else. So that was a little bit of a twist on know what's going in next to you situation. I don't think anybody would have ever anticipated that an asphalt plant was going to be there.
I'll never forget when I was a guest speaker at the Sun City Republican Club, and my job was we were reviewing what was coming up on the ballot. Like, they wanted to help with, it was one of those ballots in November that had eight propositions then, so I was kind of walking them through that. And I literally get to questions, and the first lady goes, it wasn't about proposition. He goes, what's with all the damn apartments in Oro Valley? I'm like, what? Where'd that come from, right? And then then later, three questions later, same question. She didn't hear the first one, right? And
yeah.
I'm like, you mean the ones on Oracle Road, the state highway? Those apartments?
Yeah.
You hate those? What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, just as a young reporter, I was covering Sun City long ago, the Property Owners Association, and on the agenda was expanding the pool hours for your grandkids when they came to visit. I'm telling you, this meeting had more than 400 people in it, and what I will remember always until I'm gone is someone stood up in the middle of it, and the woman who was proposing the extension of the pool hours was Jewish, and someone stood up right in the middle of this meeting and screamed, Hitler didn't go far enough.
Oh, my Lord. Just to expand the pool hours for the grandkids?
What does that tell you?
Wow.
Okay, one, these people don't have enough to do. To hear that, boy, what does that tell you? And I just, my jaw dropped. Couldn't believe it. What an awful thing. So people get passionate about this stuff, and we've been seeing a lot of it lately because we have several issues going on, and always interesting to cover and to hear what people have to say. But I'll tell you, almost always these things do end up going through because the developers, dot all the I's and cross all the T's. They make sure they have it right.
HOAs, where pettiness and passion meet at their apex.
There you go.
All right, let's go to break. We'll talk with we'll continue our discussion with Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News. Dan, we'll talk about the not many people want to work for the County of Pima anymore story that you guys did.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Joey and Celeste are here from Dancing in the Streets. They lost one of their students in the horrible shooting with Deb Martinez and the apartment manager. Kid was just literally, young man was really just sitting in the apartment next door and a bullet went through the wall, and they are fired up and want to remember that young man, and that's happening at 7:07. And then Frank Knott from Mosaic Development about the thing next to development next to Kino South in the third hour. So you're on Wake Up Tucson. We're sharing a playlist that's evocative. Thank you, Matt. Of the music at our new sister station, The Drive, that just is coming into the family this weekend. So, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Little birds, we're celebrating the Drive joining the Wake Up the Bustos Media family here at Wake. And I'm going to get it before it's all over. You know what I meant. And so we're playing tunes that you would probably hear on The Drive to celebrate them coming into the family. And again, that's the birds. Roger McGinn's playing the Fox for the 27th time in the last 10 years.
I did not know that.
Let's go to Dan Shearer down in Green Valley. Dan, good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you.
No trips to Bismarck, North Dakota during winter storms that are happening right now?
No, but I came really close. I came really close.
Damn.
No. Might be heading up to Safford here in the next week, but we'll see. But yeah, I came really close to having to go there actually last week. So
let's talk about this story. Actually, Matt sent it to me originally off of the Green Valley News newsletter. About the Pima County is, now we know Huckleberry, Gary Davidson illustrated on the show beautifully, all the FTEs, which are these placeholders for budget that they never fill anyway.
Right.
But they're saying they're 12% down. Is that 12% down in actual people they need? Or is that a 12% kind of budget hole? What are you seeing?
Actually, as of March 17th, it was 14% down, and they're just saying a shortfall in workforce. So whether these are kind of a fun with numbers type of a thing where they're doing it to pad their budgets or whatever, but I can tell you, as we spoke to them and different departments, we are talking about a lot of key positions being open, and a lot of them are in the trades. The bulk of them, of course, are in the sheriff's department, whether it's at the jail or on the streets. But pretty much everybody is affected. You know, libraries, county attorney's office, facilities, courts, all of this. And so we have a ton of openings in Pima County. So, and here's the wave that's heading this way, is that in the next 5 years, they expect that 40% of the current workers at least will be eligible for retirement. Whether they take it or not, who knows? So how did we get here? Well, of course, the nation is going through this, but also COVID was a time when a lot of people just kind of reflected on their lives and said, you know what, I think I want to go move closer to my kids, or I want to just retire early, or for one reason or another, just get out of county work. And so that was part of it. But also wages, they're looking at wages, and do we need to raise these? And they're starting up some training programs, and they're going to do a partnership with Pima College just to get certain types of positions filled. So it's a big issue. And so the hard numbers are that we had, as of March 17th, just over 1,000 positions open out of 7,300 budgeted positions. So that's it's a lot of jobs open in the county, and it's a lot of those are costing us more because they've actually had to go to third party vendors to get some of those jobs done, or they're paying people overtime, or sometimes stuff just doesn't get done.
And then again, so I, you know, Chris's broken record. So even though they don't have a vax mandate, right? They also scared a bunch of people away, right? And I think Nanos, when asked about rehiring people who were left because of the vax mandate, I think Mr. Captain Bravado said, oh, we don't need them.
Yeah, they need them. You got an open position, you need people, especially those who are trained for it. And again, we've gone over these the numbers that they've lost because of the vaccination requirement. And again, at the day that you had to be vaxxed, and if not, you were dumped. That was a number that was presented to the public, but that number does not tell the whole story. That number says on that day how many got dumped, but how many dozens, perhaps hundreds, left before then because they knew that this was coming and they just didn't want to be a part of it. And I can tell you that that number is very high. So they lost a lot more people than meets the eye because of the vax requirement.
And why go back to work for a county, right, for those people that the same 3 to 4 votes can screw you again on something similar?
Right, and I think there probably just was a lot of trust lost for the workers. I think then they did remember they changed the rule that it was just people who were working with closely with other people. So the county, I think, knew early on that it was in a sense, painting itself into a corner with this, but they stuck to their guns and they moved forward. And I can tell you, deep within the county, there are a lot of people who acknowledge off the record that they screwed up, or that they shouldn't have gone at it as hard as they did. But I think there are some people in the county who are trying to make a point, and they did, and now they're paying the price for it, and these numbers scream that to us.
I think the other thing that's interesting about the dynamic of this, Dan, is we're in a community still, and everything you said, I'm with you in relation to people moving on other jobs, or they moved to another city where their kids were with grandkids and all that. But so we're still a market of 1 million people, right?
Right.
1 million people, and the Pima County would be one of the holy grails of jobs in this community, right? U of A is probably number one, right? But then number two is the county. So when you talk about the pay, and they have done some bumps over the last year or two, they also have a sweet benefits program. They gave them extra COVID days just for breathing, right? They didn't raise the insurance unless you had COVID. You didn't want your COVID vax. That was another thing they were idiots about, right? But the insurance for people, the idea that they pay that much of your insurance, that's gold for a bunch of people. So what's the idea that out of 1 million people, and this is going to reflect on biggest problems, there's not enough people qualified to work at the county? Is that what we're running into?
I don't know that it's not enough to be qualified to work for the county, because we actually do go into how many applications they actually receive per month, and it's around 2,000, and that had dropped dramatically earlier this year, actually. But just to even have that pool of candidates, you know, they'd been having a problem with that. But you're right, the county is absolutely not a bad place to work for at all, especially if it's a job that you enjoy doing and you want to help people and be into public service and everything. There are drawbacks, of course, but for the most part, a lot of those are 9-to-5 jobs and not bad as far as the benefits go. And you're right, the pay is getting back up there. So why do people not want these jobs? Well, in general, we have seen a lot of people just try to get into that gig economy and string together 3 or 4 little jobs and that allow them to work remotely. And so they are trying that. A lot of them find it doesn't work and they have to go back to traditional work. But there's a lot of reasons for it. I don't know that it's a bias against the county.
What's the gross number of jobs that they have to fill?
1,036.
So think about that. You're telling me they're getting somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000 apps a month, and they still
a little over 2,000. They had 28,000 applications submitted in 2022, and so this is
that sure sounds like a lot of unqualified people applying for jobs.
Yeah, and it very well could be that too. So, they're not filling a lot of them. For various reasons. But yeah, this is a story full of numbers and they're very interesting and you can look at them lots of different ways, but the county's in trouble without a doubt as far as employment goes.
Let's go to Eastside Matt on line 12 right before we go to regular. Matt, what were you going to say, buddy?
Well, you can make the argument on the trade things that there's not enough qualified applicants. You can certainly make that argument.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
That has long been an issue, but they actually, again, are starting a training program, so they'll take people in with less experience than they would have in the past, and they'll just, you know, train them up. And the trades are seeing a lot of that because fewer young people have gone into them. So they're at least making efforts here.
Dan Shearer, great job as always, and I'll email you later about a roundtable on journalism. We got to do that again, okay?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. All right, we come back. Joey and Celeste from Dancing in the Streets are here, and they are en fuego about a very bad thing that happened to a very good young man. Wake up.